Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Heart Shift Radio. I am so excited to be here with you today. I, of course, am Marcy Newman, the Heart Shift Coach, your host, and I have the most terrific guest with me today. And a guest, by the way, that I've never met, and yet I feel such a depth of sisterhood with. Our hearts just connected in all places, Facebook. So I'd love to introduce my dear soul sister, Susie Cobden, to you and offer all that she is and all that she brings to this world up to you. So let me tell you a little bit about her, and this is actually in her own words, which is just a pure delight. So first off, she wants you to know that she's a Nana, like me, and she has five adorable grandchildren, and four of them are just babies, and she says that they remind her of what is real. I can so relate to that, Susie. There is nothing like the reality through the eyes and the heart of a child, so I get it.
Yeah, they just know how to live.
Yeah. So anyway, Susie says that she stepped into the online world in a big way only 18 months ago. After relying on a rather sporadic income provided by life coaching and energy work, and leaving her previous employment in 2016, she said that she has always been a lover of all things that are spiritual and metaphysical, and an energy seeker for more than a decade. But she talks about being reluctant to shift her focus from what she felt was her path, and was suddenly feeling herself being nudged and pushed forward in a brand new way. We're going to talk so much more about that. But Susie has discovered her passion, empowering women. And in fact, she says it's something more than a passion. It's something she must do. And I can so relate to that too. So you can only imagine her delight when this innocuous online platform presented itself. And she finds herself not only supported and empowered, but this sense of compulsory and just a presence of being connected. So Susie says, my life will never be the same, and she is delighted. So now she helps women freely all over the world to find their truth, and if they wish to join her, to assist them in creating their own life by design and also freeing their families and communities and empowering others to do the same. Susie is living truly a 5D life. Welcome, Susie. Thrilled to have you here in all of your 5D reality.
Thank you, Marcy. I feel like I've known you forever.
I know.
Our souls definitely do. And my life has been very interesting, to say the least. You know, I come from a very ordinary background, you know, highly loved in a beautiful family. I was the eldest daughter of five kids, and I took it on as my responsibility to, you know, maintain the peace in the family and to really set the example, you know, and that was nudged into me, you know, by the adults around me anyway. You know, as the eldest daughter, you're responsible, you know, you've got to set a good example. So, you know, I was shy, incredibly shy as a child. You know, I used to, as a toddler, hide under my mother's skirt and hold onto her leg and say, I love you, mummy, the whole time. Anyone was there, you know, I was so shy. And you know, my parents absolutely lovingly encouraged my shyness, you know, not on purpose, of course, but they said, look, Susie's just really shy, leave her be. And that gave me permission to stay that way. So, you know, as a child and growing up, even right through high school, you know, this shyness really kept me isolated. But I also, you know, wanted to be acknowledged as being the good girl, setting the example. So, you know, I was teacher's pet. I was, you know, always helping the adults around, trying to make a good impression. And, you know, that worked to an extent, but it was a very lonely life, you know. Being a teacher's pet didn't win me friends. You know?
No, I bet it didn't.
And because I was so shy, you know, I'd never had to interact with others, you know, at any deep level. So making friends and things like that was difficult. I was pretty much a loner right through my life. And, yeah, you know, that kind of went into marriage. When I did get married, you know, I had this idea of what marriage was meant to be like, you know, and the wife ran around and did everything for the husband and agreed with him and made the perfect environment, because to me, that was my belief that everything would be happy as long as I was agreeable and was the good girl. So, you know, I was a terrible pleaser and I absolutely lost myself. I was married for almost 30 years and, you know, he ended the relationship and, you know, my whole life fell apart, but it in every aspect, not just in the relationship, but financially and every area, it was just chaotic. But I kind of picked myself up and, you know, took my power back at a point where, you know, I had the mortgage company hounding me for a debt that there was no way I could repay, you know, and I'd been trying to sell my house and just couldn't do it. You know, it just, there was no buyers around. And I know it was because of my energy and where I was at the time. So, you know, I ended up giving my house back to the mortgage company. And that was my first step in really taking empowerment back. You know, I was suddenly all by myself, you know, four kids and they'd all just left home, you know, one after the other, not long before the husband left. And you know, I was in this huge, great big five-bedroom home with just myself and lots of debt and lots of chaos. And, you know, I stood up, got up one morning and said, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of groveling. I'm tired of debt. Gave the mortgage company the house. And it gave me such an incredible freedom. I was more excited than I'd been for years, for as long as I could remember. And that sounds really weird.
It sounds so strange. Yeah.
Losing your house. Yeah. It could have been traumatic. But the thing is, it had been traumatic for 3 years prior. You know, my ex had gone through an illness before and, you know, our financial position had been shaky even before the separation, but after he left, it was disastrous. And, you know, I was repaying all of my debt except the mortgage.
What were you saying about your husband, Susie?
He had had an illness for about 3 years prior to our separation. So our financial situation was already on shaky ground. And you know, I was committed to paying back all of my debt, which I did, except for the mortgage, which was just out of my reach. And, you know, just releasing that back to the mortgage company, you know, freed me up from being a victim. It freed me up from, you know, I was scared to answer the phone because I never knew who was on the other end. So, you know, it was like a celebration for me. Suddenly, I was free from under this weight. And, you know, I was living off $15 a week for quite a while. But I managed all of those commitments because I now, you know, I had this drive in me. I knew I was creating my life and I knew that it was up to me to change it. And, you know, I had been already into personal development for a couple of years. And I, to be honest, you know, I'm pretty sure it was my change that was going on that, you know, the husband didn't know suddenly who he was married to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, I'd been the pleaser and I'd lost all of my personality. I was totally 1,000% agreeable. And suddenly I was starting to stand in my own and my personality was coming out. And, you know, I was having opinions and he decided at that point that he needed to step away and find himself, which is awesome because he was quite a strong personality. And I know that had I have stayed in that situation, you know, I wouldn't have been able to find me either. But from that point forward, you know, I dug into absolutely everything I could, you know, around energetics, around spirituality, around the non-physical, around quantum science. I love quantum science, you know. And my thirst for understanding myself was, you know, the only desire I had in life. It was like a hunger that I couldn't fulfill. And, you know, I, at some point, you know, within 18 months, I think, of being on my own, I really began to channel. I started to receive messages. And, you know, one night I was actually, I didn't have a television, so I was never on TV, but I was listening to the internet. I was always, you know, learning or really, I don't know what the word is I'm searching for, but you know, really hungry for this information that I knew was my truth. And I just turned the internet off. It was very late at night and I stood up to actually move towards the bedroom so that I could go to bed. And this booming voice came in and it said that I had been summoned to the next meeting of the White Brotherhood. And I thought, what's this about? You know, like, and who is this? And as soon as I thought, you know, who is this? Melchizedek introduced himself and he told me that the White Light Brotherhood, you know, was waiting for my attendance and that I should go. And I'm kind of thinking, I don't know who Melchizedek is and I'm not sure about this White Brotherhood. You know, all I could imagine was people in white robes. You know?
With white hoods.
Yeah. And I thought, okay. But the energy felt really good. So I trusted my intuition and I said, okay, well, I don't know how to get there or where it is. And he said, don't worry, you will, you know, I will take you there. You will know when it's time. Anyway, I got on the internet actually and started searching Melchizedek and I couldn't find a lot. You know, there's some connections to him in the Bible and from what I could understand, you know, he was a priest or part of the church that Jesus belonged to. And some places in the Bible it even says that, you know, or it infers that Jesus and Melchizedek might be the same energy mm-hmm. or being.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I went to bed, you know, I was lost and still confused. I still didn't know who Melchizedek was. And yeah, shortly after, you know, I closed my eyes and, you know, I'm in this energy bath because I'm always feeling the energy. You know, I'm just, yeah, I bubble a lot. And Melchizedek came through. And the next thing I knew, I thought it was a white room to start with. Everything was white, but it didn't actually look solid. It kind of looked almost like I could see through it. But I could see all of these white beings in front of me. It was like I was standing in the back of the room with all these beings wearing white robes, except, you know, they weren't even well-defined robes. It was just kind of all white, but I could see all these heads.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing, Melchizedek is beside me, and he said, this is why you're here, Susie. And I said, okay, I still don't really get it. I'm at the back. All I can see is these white beings. He said, take another look. And when I looked, I could see these, they look like barcodes, you know, on the back of a book or a can of peaches.
Sure.
The barcode that it gets scanned. It looked like these barcodes of light coming from each being right up through their being, right up their spine and out the top of their head, right up as far as I could see. And each barcode obviously was a little bit different. And Melchizedek said, see that? And I said, yeah, they look like barcodes. He said, yeah, well, each one of us has our own specific code in life. And you've been finding yourself, and it's now time to be really authentic. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, see the barcode. He said, when somebody isn't being authentic, part of that barcode is deleted, and no longer are you complete. Everybody is unique, and everybody comes here with their own symphony of frequencies that when we come together in connection with humanity, we create a beautiful piece. Like, we create creation, we create humanity. And he said, you know, to put it in other words, if you were a jigsaw puzzle piece with all of humanity being a jigsaw, being a picture, if you're not real, it's like you've cut pieces of yourself off. And even if you try to fill that hole, there'll still be gaps. And it's not only you that you're robbing, but all of humanity. Mm. And
actually,
you know, that was important.
Sure. I have to interject that even before you described that jigsaw puzzle piece, that was exactly what I saw.
Yeah.
Having that very same vision of that puzzle, you know, being humanity and how essential it is that each of us is here expressing our uniqueness and our purpose-driven lives. So continue on. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I understood it to a degree back then, but that was probably 2013 or 14. And I've really built on that since and, you know, really worked on being authentic more and more and more. And, you know, as you said earlier when you were reading my bio, I was working in a bookshop until 2016, early in 2016. And the bookshop closed and, you know, I saw it as my opportunity to actually just live life on my terms completely. So I did actually get offered another job with another bookstore, and before I could say anything, I just told him I was leaving town. And, you know, that was the first I'd actually made that decision, because I hung up afterwards and I thought, did I just say that? I didn't even ask him what he was offering. You know, it just fell out of my mouth, and I know it was coming through. You know, it was channel. It wasn't my conscious mind saying that. And I knew it was something I had to do. So when the bookshop closed, I gave 2 weeks' notice on the home that I was renting. And I rang my kids. I said, come and get what you want. And then I rang charity and gave the rest away. So since 2016, which is 4 years in just a couple of weeks, since I actually gave everything away, and I've been living out of a suitcase and my car ever since. You know, yes, I do have spare rooms, and at the moment I'm with my parents, but, you know, mostly I'm just me and my car, and we do our own thing. But, you know, 18 months ago, because I had been relying on my life coaching, and, you know, there was times when it was wonderful and plenty of money was flowing. There was other times when there wasn't. And, you know, you're always limited with life coaching with time and the number of people you can actually reach. And I'm someone that likes really personal contact. So, you know, creating online programs terribly effective, but not for me, because I know the importance of connection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really important. And even more so, I believe, this year, you know, connecting ourselves with others, because all others in our life are actually an aspect of ourselves.
Yes.
So the more extensions, connecting we can actually do, you know, the more wholeness we become. But also, you know, when we connect in person to somebody, our energy, although energy is transmitted through all we do, when you connect in person, there's no comparison. You know, it's just so beautiful coming together from this place of, you know, love, from wanting to help others, from you know, making real connection. And, you know, that real connection may or may not be about, you know, empowering others. It might be just connection. You know, it might be just saying hello and reminding people, you know, I love you, or I just love connecting with like-minded people, and I'm so glad that, you know, you're in my life, that you matter, because a lot of people are really struggling at the moment and just wanting to know that they matter. And of course, what, as you become more authentic, you start to feel the whole sense of you mattering anyway. But, you know, when I joined this online platform, from the outside, it kind of looks like just any other online business. You know, it's affiliate marketing. But the whole tribe is conscious, and we believe that 80% of success is the internal work. So, you know, we have people from all walks of life join the business. Obviously, they join for money and time freedom, but they get into the platform and they discover themselves, because 80% of the training is about the self. It's about personal branding. You can't be a successful personal brand without knowing who you are. So, you know, my dive over the last 18 months has really been into standing in my full power and really diving deep into who I am. You know, listening to my heart and discovering what it is that I actually want out of life. And of course, the more whole we become, the more we align with ourselves, the more successful we are. And success doesn't just mean money to me. Success is happiness. It's fulfillment. It's connection. It's love. And, you know, I really love that the platform is bringing in miners and farmers and hairdressers and chefs and all sorts of people, and they're becoming awakened beings.
Well, and it just sounds like a wonderful platform for so many people to find their authentic voices as well. And I want to talk for a moment about what that takes, because first off, as you were telling your story, there were so many parallels that I could relate to with myself. And how spirit just moves through and makes certain at a certain point that you are hearing its voice. And there can be, there is just no question about, you know, what that is, and that you have to pay attention. But I want to talk about the journey of authenticity and mm-hmm. what that requires, because you and I both know that the number one aspect of it is that you need to let go of whoever you thought you were, whoever you believed you had to be, whoever you were when you were fulfilling other people's expectations of you. And there's this whole long list of belief systems that actually need to be let go of. And you mentioned one in particular, and that is the victim belief, right?
Exactly.
Because that energy is so dense. So let's talk about that journey, the journey of letting go, and why it's so essential.
Yeah. It's incredibly essential because, you know, looking at quantum science for a moment, there is no past. We're only ever living in the now, you know, and people say to me, yeah, but the past and the present and the future are all now. And I said, yes, there is. But the thing is, we're not living that timeline of the past unless we choose to, and we choose everything with our vibration. So when we can actually say to ourselves, you know what, all of my world is just energy, and it's my senses, the translation that my senses are creating out of this energy, which is shaped by my own personal frequency into my surroundings. And of course, it's shaped by your beliefs, by your emotions, and, you know, your own core frequency. But when we can actually realize that everything is infinite potential, and it's only our senses that are creating the outside world, we can do that by closing our eyes. You can't see anything. Right. Imagine if you couldn't hear anything and you couldn't touch anything. Imagine if you were just somewhere where there was no sound, no light, no touch, no taste, no smell. Your whole world would not be there. And we say, yeah, well, as soon as we open our eyes, it is there, so it must still be there. But actually, the moment you open your eyes, you just create it again. So when you realize that you're actually creating your whole world, recreating your whole world in each moment, you get to realize that you can also recreate it in a way that you desire. You know, our world is created by our belief systems and our frequency, which is, you know, told to us by our emotion. So if we can lift our emotion, if we can start to expect what we desire, if we can come from a place of love and appreciation, we can actually connect with different worlds right now. You know, if you're in a good mood and you go out, you'll hear the birds singing, you'll see the flowers, you'll smell the, you know, beautiful scent of the flowers, or you'll smell a delicious pizza that's floating past or whatever. But if you're in a bad mood, you'll go outside and you'll trip on a rock and you'll hurt yourself, and, you know, maybe you'll get a blood nose and you've stained your shirt, and, you know, life just doesn't get better. And it's exactly the same world. So it's about really realizing it, first of all, that we are our creators. You know, our whole world emanates from within us. And if there's a problem in the outside world, we've got to look within. We can't fix the outside world. We've got to fix ourselves. So it's about taking responsibility and shifting out of victimhood. You know, and then I look at the past and I say, you know, what if every time I'm feeling uncomfortable, it's only telling me I'm not in alignment? What if there's no real story to anything, only what I create? So I can look at something in the past and I can feel really bad, and I know that it's because of the story I've created around it. So I can look at the past and I can either create a new story, or I can just remember that the past no longer exists. And I've got a world of opportunity right in front of me right now that I can create from. It's like there's a blank canvas, and I've got a palette with every color available in my hand, and, you know, I can instantly create a masterpiece, or I can keep looking behind me and feeling sorry for myself. And that was where I kind of came from. You know, I've gone deep into relationships, and I've realized that, you know, nearly all of my relationships were like of a horizontal nature, with me not even, you know, at ground level and everybody else above me. I was in potholes, you know, and some of them were so deep that I couldn't see the sun. But, you know, when I started to realize who I am and took responsibility for my life, I thought, you know what, everyone else that's in my world is a reflection of me. They're all here for my own understanding and my own expansion. So they're not people who have betrayed me or hurt me. They're actually playing a really tough role. You know, I've given the role that I gave my husband to my husband so that I could step into my empowerment. You know? And
yeah.
Obviously he's co-created that, so he's had lessons out of that, whether he's taken them or not, is not my business. You know, but when you can put everybody on an even relationship, then you're no longer looking up at people, you're looking across at them, and you realize that every one of us is equal and unique, and therefore there's no competition, there's no need for me to judge myself. Everybody's got unique gifts and frequencies, and we're all here to support each other. And suddenly we're not in a world of enemies where we have to live in fear. We're in a world of friends who are all here to support us.
There is this wonderful book that I have long recommended to my clients for many, many years now. As a matter of fact, at some points, I wonder if I shouldn't get commissions on it. But the book is by Neil Donald Walsh. And the name of it is The Little Soul in the Sun. And it talks...
Oh, that's a beautiful book.
It is a beautiful book. And it talks about this exact same concept. But mm-hmm. it goes a step further in that it infers that we actually choose our the people in our soul group exactly for
these
purposes. So we choose that, okay, I'm going to be married to him, and oh my God, he is just going to do an incredible job at catapulting me out of his world and into my own world.
Mm-hmm.
And she has agreed to come in, and she's going to test me and push me, and she might even push me over the edge, but it'll be my choice whether to spring my wings and fly or hit the bottom. And this one is going to do that. So we have all of these interactions taking place at all times. And that in his book, he talks about those who are here, who create for us the greatest opportunities to become the greatest expression of ourselves, are those who love us most. They come with this gift of love and says, yes, I will be that for you. I will do that for you. And every time I think about that, it brings me first to my knees and then it brings me to tears, because the orchestration of this universe is so detailed, is so intricately woven like a tapestry, that we cannot even begin to grasp it, right? But when we come into this place, as you have, as I have, and so many of those that, you know, we speak with and interact with and work with, what happens is when we give ourselves permission to step out of those beliefs, out of that victimhood, out of she did that to me, he did that to me, out of all of that, and we start to embrace that all things are working in our favor, life changes right in that nanosecond. And it changes in a way where, as you spoke before, nothing ever looks the same again. Now you're in that, and I love that you called it that 5D life. Because now all you have to do is look around you and know what is really happening. And it is powerful.
And what's real anyway? All of life is a perception.
Right.
The only realness, the only realness is our consciousness. You know, and that's pure love.
Well, what is real is that we're all in cahoots. We're all in this together.
We're all one.
Yeah,
we're
we are one. We are here as ourselves, but as a part of each other. And we are here for ourselves, but also for each other. And it's this incredible, you know, expression of partnership, which I believe is the very fiber of all things created in the universe are created in partnership. And it's just so elevating, right? When
magic, yeah absolutely. Magic. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm, you know, often remember the passage in the Bible. You know, I'm not a Bible person and I'm not into religion, although that was my background. But, you know, I remember the passage when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am amongst them. And it really is like that, because as soon as we connect on a heartfelt level to somebody else, it's like a reuniting of ourself and the energy. It isn't just like twice as much energy, it's exponential.
Right.
And when people come together, you know, with a singular focus, around love, around connection, around support, around compassion, around empowerment, you know, and if anything is close to the truth, it's all of these descriptions that we give, which are all versions of love, of course. But, you know, that's when the magic happens. And that is really part of the gift with me being online. You know, I'm working, you know, online with an incredible tribe of people from all over the world, and we're all working towards this common goal, you know. My personal goal at the moment is to empower 1,000 women, you know, through helping them to really become authentic and, you know, changing their own life in the way that they desire, and changing their families and their communities, and, you know, really making a giant change for humanity. But of course, it's not going to stop at 1,000 women. I know this is something that is much bigger than me.
Sure.
And, you know, just, but, you know, a lot of women my age, our age, a lot of us are on our own. And even if we're not on our own, a lot of us are craving real connection. And I've found that, you know, just coming together with such a conscious group of people authentically is really making huge impact in the world, you know. But I'm constantly brought back to our guidance system, you know, and Esther Hicks through Abraham speaks of this a lot. You know, when we feel good, we're in our truth. But we've also got to remember that sometimes we are feeling uncomfortable, and most times, well, all times, let me be clear, all times we are feeling uncomfortable, it's because we're out of alignment. But 95% of the time it will be because of our mind. So, you know, we've got to go back and we've got to look at our programming and look at our beliefs and look at the stories we're telling ourselves. You know, nearly all of our programming happened between 0 and the ages of 7 or 8. You know, as a child, we're a sponge. And it's very human programming. It, you know, there's not too many parents, although there's a lot more now than there was in my generation, that would tell their kids, you know, to think for yourself, to be a free thinker, to love the world, to see others as your friend, even if they don't appear to be, you know, to create connection. You know, normally we're brought up in competition, and that creates division. You know, anytime there's any sort of competition, you know, going back to these vertical relationships that I had, when I first started spirit, in the journey into myself and to spirituality, you know, I was so involved in understanding the physical aspect, the spiritual aspects of myself, that the physical aspects were just kind of left to care for themselves. You know, yes, I still showered, I still ate, I did the necessary things, but my human life kind of got put on the back burner because I was so eager to discover who I was. And I actually put like soul and spirit and my energy up on this pedestal, you know, and the human self down in the gutter somewhere, you know. I really didn't see the human aspect of myself as anything important. And that is a major separation that a lot of people on the spiritual journey create. You know, they think, oh, it's just my ego. How many times have I heard ego being, you know, had mud thrown at it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this really me or is it just ego? You know, it's time to love ourselves as a whole being, because as soon as we lift spirit or the non-physical higher than ourselves, we've created separation.
Correct.
We've gone back into duality. We've separated from who we actually are. You know, and yes, our physical is an illusion. Our mind is a tool, as is the body, to navigate this world. But we came here because we wanted to experience the physical and we wanted the huge expansion that we would get from it. You know, Earth is the place to be if you're wanting huge expansion. But you've got to learn to how to navigate it. And a lot of people get lost, you know, back to the little book by Neil Donald Walsh. You know, you come to Earth and you have all these agreements and you come in and then you forget.
Yep.
It's programmed out of you. And you move into this victim mode and survival mode and struggle and competition and you forget your truth. And actually all of that is illusion. You know, we are creating our world in absolutely every moment and our personality is part of our programming. We can change that as quickly as we choose to. So, you know, coming back to authenticity, what does it take? It takes courage, first of all, because we all have these ideas of who we are, and who we are truly isn't who we are, who
No.
we think we are.
No.
So it's really coming back to the nitty-gritty. You know,
well, I like
who
so,
am I?
Yeah, I like so much, you know, what you were emphasizing about the importance of also embracing ourselves as humans and what a privilege it is to be a human. What an honor it is to be here and to experience this world that is magnificent, number one. Number two, where we can be in each other's physical presence. And mm-hmm. exchange energetically and exchange ideas and exchange and share and partner and all of that. We experience so much through the world and through each other. And you're right, we have to embrace our humanity because it is what gives us the opportunities to continue to expand so that more love can extend itself through us. And what
exactly.
an incredible, you talk about orchestration. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time just saying, oh my God, you know, I'm in awe of what comes together. And part of my coming together with you is, you know, sort of evidence of that. I remember seeing you pop up in Facebook. I don't know how we got connected with something and I started to watch these little videos you had done, and it was more an energetic connection, to tell you the truth. And it was almost mm-hmm. like I was waiting for something. And then all of a sudden, you started to really express what was coming through you in your mm-hmm. writing. And I said, this delicious thing is channeling, and she's channeling in a very high frequency of light. And I felt it like through every cell of my body and of course extended out throughout my entire field. And I thought, ah, what a blessing. And I just said, thank you, you know, because when we can connect on that heart-to-heart level where we are in recognition, it's a soul recognition. It's a recognition that is energetic and feeds us in such a way that nothing else can touch it. And so that
exactly.
was, yeah, that was how I started to recognize you as this soul sister. It was by recognizing your energy and the frequency of your light. And I'm thrilled that you have dedicated yourself to, you know, really supporting 1,000 women to come into their authenticity, because there's nothing more important. We must let go of societal norms. We must let go of cultural norms, religious norms, anything that would confine us or restrict us or influence us in any way. And we have to become open channels. Clear,
exactly,
open channels for love. And then there's not one of us who will be wanting or needing of anything else.
Yeah, that's so true. When we become authentic, we open ourselves up to all the wisdom of the world, of the universe. It's
the collective.
All available to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's totally possible to do that in the human, as a human, in the physical life, you know. And I rejected, you know, when I first saw this online platform, I got excited straight away. So I knew it was aligned with me. But then my mind started and it tried to talk me out of it. You know, you're too old to be online. You don't know anything about technology. And, you know, it's probably a scam, all of this kind of stuff. And
sure.
I thought, you know what? No, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm not going to listen to the mind. You know, I've become a witness of myself, and I can see when, you know, mind is just trying to save me. It's not my enemy. And when we can realize that it is just a tape recorder and it is trying to save us, then we can then step into our own power and decide, as you say, by what feels right. But, you know, my time is freed up now. You know, I am online less than 6 hours a week. And that is my job. But my job is actually being authentic and connecting with real people and making a difference in people's lives. And I'm able to reach so many people through social media and, you know, the personal messages and the chats that open up, you know, privately to me about what people are going through, and, you know, and me being able to give them free assistance, you know, or even on social media. You know, a lot of people will comment on my posts and, you know, reach out from there. But it's just beautiful. And we never know the ripple effect. You know, I say 1,000 women, but hey, you know what? I put a smile on your face, and then you go about doing something and somebody near you feels a bit better because you're in a good mood, and then they go buy a coffee and the person in the coffee shop is feeling better too because someone is polite and offering smiles. And, you know, then the kids come home and they see mum in a good mood and they're happy as well.
That's,
you know?
That's right.
And just by one little act of kindness, we can change so many lives. And it's really just about being ourselves, because we are all unique. We are all special, all equally special, not more special than one, any other one. But it's about being who we are. And when we embrace our humanness, and even though this online business looked like it was taking me away from, you know, my desire to work energetically and empower women, it was something that really brought out the leader in me. And, you know, not everyone wants to be a leader. I didn't want to be a leader, but my channels told me, you know, as soon as I joined, you know, they high-fived me, and I said, okay, I don't get it. Why are you doing that? And I said, because this business is going to create the leader that you need to become. You know, remember, everything that we do, it's not for the outcome. It's for who we become.
That's right.
While we're heading towards that outcome. And, you know, that is really delicious. And, you know, I open my heart to all ladies and, you know, anybody that's got a bigger dream for life that really, you know, wants to step into their own knowing, their own being, and create life on their terms. I'd love to hear from them. I'm easily available on Facebook, on social media.
So tell them how they can reach you.
Okay. SusieCobden.com. That's S-U-Z-I-E. Cobden, C-O-B for Bob, D-E-N. Reach out to me on Facebook. Would love to chat. I am on Instagram too, but Facebook is really where most of my energy is going. And, you know, I just go where I feel guided to go.
Right.
But, yeah, as you say, I do channel. Everything I do is imbued with my energy and with my channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I live. And I know when I separated from it, because I get that, you know, that familiar feeling of a knot in my stomach, and all it is guidance back to myself.
That's right.
You know, I've stopped analyzing everything. You know, I'm either in alignment or I'm not.
Right.
And everything just is, but everything is what we make it to be. And, yeah, I just say embrace life. Do what feels good to you, but don't be afraid of change. This is where the courage comes in, because once you start on the journey to authenticity, life will change.
Yes, everything changes. And, yeah, it will call you to your heart. Yep. And you have to let go of anything that interferes
Absolutely.
With that.
Mm-hmm. And I believe life is a bit like a snow globe. You know, and as soon as you embrace change, it's like somebody shaking it like crazy.
Yep.
And there appears to be chaos all around you. But you've just got to stay on track.
Yeah.
Follow your guidance.
Steadfast.
Stay in joy. Stay in your knowing, and everything settles back into perfect place.
It's perfect.
It must.
Yes.
It must.
Well, you know? I want to thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm so thrilled to know about the thousands of people who have the opportunity to listen to this and to take it in, to give themselves permission to step out of any structure that they have themselves in that is not serving their highest good. And as you said, it's always for the highest good of all. It's not just about us. The ripple effect of all that we do is what makes the waves. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for taking your journey, for, oh my goodness, navigating through it so gracefully, Susie, for sharing yourself with us, having the courage to do that. And I look forward to speaking with you again, sharing more of you and more and more and more, because the light is so vivid and will certainly be a light to the feet of many. So thank you again. And please, our listeners, if you want to reach out to Susie, you can reach her at facebook.com/Sue.Cobden, Cobden.3. And all those links will be right here with this post. And please, if you have comments, questions, responses, leave them below. We want to hear from you. So again, thank you so much, Susie, and so many blessings of light. Fantastic.
Thank you, Marcy. Absolutely appreciate this opportunity to connect with your listeners, and you know, just really want to leave them with the message that you are God's source creator in a human body.
Right.
And you can have anything you want. And I would love to hear from you, would love to connect and, you know, just say hi.
Yes.
So have a beautiful day.
Thank you. And this message, by the way, is coming from Australia, if you couldn't pick that up with Susie's accent. But, yeah, so such a blessing. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Bye-bye now.